Hey, this is C. Jax, and you're listening to Life in Hex.
Before the episode starts, I'd like to just apologise in advance for any sound problems in this episode. We had a bit of problem, it seems, with the cables, and we didn't realise until after we started editing. But hopefully you won't mind, and it will not detract from the show. So, hope you enjoy it.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Life in Hex. I'm Saffron.
And I'm Gelada, and this is episode 3.
Yes, episode 3.
We actually got to our third episode.
Oh, yes, yes. It's our sixth week.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, very good maths.
I know.
That was C. Jax opening the show for us.
Yeah, he did a little promo for us.
Which was very impressive. You need to check out his site at cjaxmusic.com and listen to some of his music.
Yeah, it's great music. Yep. I've had a listen to some of his stuff, including our intro music, and yep. It's all very good stuff.
Indeed. So we'll sort of do a bit of housekeeping and stuff.
Yep.
We got some feedback from the previous show that people didn't like our World of Warcraft joke about the World of Warcraft expansion. People didn't quite understand that it was actually a joke, despite us just going, "Burb, we don't care." But anyway, we still don't care because we don't really give a damn about the World of Warcraft expansion.
World of Warcraft doesn't really tickle my boat.
Proen's been tickle your boat.
Tickle my boat, tickle my fancy.
Proen's been playing it a lot, though.
Yeah, I noticed on his MSN name. Yep, he's a level 50 now.
Is he a level 50?
Yeah,
he got to level 50.
He leveled up.
Oh, impressive.
I know.
Just as they're raising the level cap as well. Okay, we're starting with our live section.
Yes.
And because we haven't really got lives.
No, we're kind of a boring lives. We haven't really been doing anything recently because we've been been sad. We've been really sad.
Well, we've been playing a lot of games and
we've just been doing the usual stuff. The usual boring stuff that you're not really interested in.
So we thought we'd do some book review. Well, you're doing a manga review and I'm doing a book review. I've just finished a book that was given to me for my birthday, actually. Good Omens, a book by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman. It's Terry Pratchett humour. For all those who don't know, but you should know, Terry Pratchett wrote the Discworld novels. Seffron doesn't know, obviously.
I ain't got a clue.
If you go into a bookstore, you will see whole shelves full of... Like, a whole wall can be full of Discworld novels. There's so many.
I know we've got quite a lot of Terry Pratchett novels at the library where
I work. Exactly. And it's his humour, but I swear Neil Gaiman sat there and said, no, that's too mad. You can't go quite that insane. And so it's watered down Terry Pratchett humour. But that's a good thing, because I found that Terry Pratchett is really sort of... It's just insane and weird and just jumps from point to point and you don't really get what's going on. But it's with Neil Gaiman as well, who wrote Coraline, which is... It won awards, I think.
Did it?
It's a children's book. And it's sort of Alice in Wonderland horror. It's really weird. It's really weird, but if you like strange books, it's another one to read. But anyway, Good Omens is a joke take on Armageddon and the end of the world. And it's sort of jokes about prophecies and religion and Antichrist and angels and demons and all that sort of thing.
Right.
It's one of those sort of, you know, to give an example, the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse are actually four bikers with Hell's Angels written on the back of their jackets.
Awesome.
And that sort of thing. So it made me laugh, and so I urge people, if they like sort of humorous books and aren't too insulted by piss takes on religion, then they should have a read of it. It's quite predictable, but it's one of the only books that's actually made me sit there and laugh, and actually laugh, not just pretend, not sort of like laugh inside or anything, really made me actually laugh out.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was really good. You say you've got a... Have you got a book manga to review?
Yes, I don't know if anyone we've picked up during the rest of the podcast, but I'm a bit of an anime and manga fan.
I think people hopefully figured that out.
If they didn't, well, I am. And anyone who doesn't know that, it's like Japanese animation. And a manga is a Japanese comic, so if you didn't know that, then you do now. But recently I've been reading this series called Negima. It's one of the Ken Akamatsu books. He's also done the Love Hina series. If anyone's read those, you should know what basically it's about.
It's like Love Hina, then.
Yeah, it's similar. It's similar. Right. But number 7 recently came out.
Excuse me while I just switch off.
Thanks a lot. Number 7 came out like a couple of weeks ago. And me and Pac-Mac, we both read it now. But I only read it the other night, so I thought I'd do a quick review on it. It's a bit samey to what the rest of them are like. The jokes are very similar to all the rest of them.
Yeah.
They're all... if you've read all the first six, you can kind of see what's going to happen. You like already predict what's going to happen. But the story's not too bad. It's Negi, who's a 10-year-old kid, who's actually a magician, but he's also an English teacher in Japan, and he teaches these 30 girls and all girls.
He's 10 years old.
Yeah, he's 10.
Okay.
It's an awesome way of doing things, because see, in all the other Ken Akamatsu books, you always had like loads of girls and one guy, but the guy's been old enough to like have sex and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas Negi, he's way too young and naive to even understand what all that kind of stuff is, you know, girlfriends, sex, etc. So even though he does these perverted acts, which is what Ken Akamatsu is known for. He's known for his pervy acts and stuff.
He's a perv, essentially.
His main characters.
His main characters are perv.
They're always pervs, yeah. But right. Negi can't help it. He doesn't realise what he's doing half the time. You know, but all the girls, they think he's really cute, so he can't help it. But he's a magician as well. He knows magic and stuff. It's quite insane in some parts. I mean,
I can imagine.
His pet...
10-year-old perv?
His pet is a Welsh-speaking... ferret.
Did the Japanese have any idea of what's wrong?
I don't know. But it's an interesting manga. Number 7 is very good. It really expands on the storyline of Negi trying to find his father and trying to understand his father's legacy. So cool. It's a really good book, and if you're into manga, I suggest you read the Negima series, especially if you're into the kind of the harem, the girl harem with one guy. Very, very good.
Fun.
It's very good.
I have a tiny bit of my life that I would mention. I'm doing a music for a pantomime in a village nearby, and we just started rehearsals, and it's quite fun.
Yep.
It's all interesting. And
messing about with your keyboard?
Yeah, messing about with my lovely keyboard. We're going to move on to our gaming.
Yep, we've got our gaming section. We've got a lot in this section.
We have. This is a real gaming episode, I think.
I think this is mostly aimed towards gaming, this episode.
Yep, so if you're not a gamer, then... skip to the end.
Yeah, skip to when the rest of the text section.
Yeah.
But if you're interested, listen on.
Yeah, and if you're not, but listen on anyway, because there's some music which you really want to listen to.
Yeah, it's good music.
Anyway, we've got some news to start with.
Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's going to be a party, an Xbox 360 party.
Yeah, held by Microsoft.
Yeah, Microsoft have endorsed this.
Microsoft can hold parties.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
Do you think Bill Gates is going to be there in like a party hat?
He's going to bring the rest of his family as well.
Yeah.
But it's going to be in the, is it the Californian desert?
Yeah, it is.
Yep. And it's going to be a 24-hour event.
Yep.
And basically, there's going to be three Xboxes, 360s there to play. Yep. And it's just going to be
a lot of people
gaming.
It's going to be a lot of people drinking a lot of water in a desert playing Xbox 360s.
It's going to be a sausage fest as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be about 90% guys, 10% girls.
Yeah.
And I'd say 5% of those are going to be mothers of kids who want to go along,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's going to be mostly guys.
But there's...
and there's going to be a lot of sweating, unfortunately.
There's only a few tickets and...
they're expensive.
I'm really not sure how they're doing it. Whether I think they're inviting people that have done beta testing and that sort of thing.
Right.
But I'm really not sure, but... if you want to know more, then go and check out... there's lots of news on the web. If you just Google Xbox 360 party, you'll get loads
of hits.
You'll
find out about it.
But the particular one we looked at was on a CNN blog, and that's tinyurl.com/COKD4. Okay, it's got OK in it.
Yeah.
That's C for Charlie, O for...
orange.
K for Kevin. D for...
dog.
4 for...
the number 4.
Wait a sec, that's a number. Okay.
Yeah, of course, that link will also be on our website.
Yeah, of course, all the URLs on that we mentioned in the show and all the information will be on the website.
Yep. So basically, that's it. I mean, there's not really much to talk about. It's just going to be an awesome party. We're not friends of Microsoft, really.
No,
we don't
really
like the Xbox too much.
Give me Linux and give me GameCubes.
Yeah, exactly. But we admit that this is an amazing thing.
It's definitely a cool thing to do. They're definitely going to attract gamers from this.
I mean, if I could, I'd definitely go.
Yeah.
I mean, even though I don't like Xbox and stuff, I would definitely go just for the feeling of it.
It would
awesome.
Be good. Okay, I'm going to do a review of my most anticipated game for the past 6 years, people. I've been anticipating this ever since Age of Empires 2 came out. I mentioned the demo in the previous episode.
So
and
you should already know what this game is.
Yep, and I'm now going to do a review of Age of Empires 3.
Ooh.
I pre-ordered the Collector's Edition, and it's a... mahoosive box.
It's big.
It's big. In
box.
Fact, it's down there on the floor.
I can see it from here.
And it came with a book, a demo CD, a making of CD, a thicker manual. I actually looked. The manual for the normal game is like paper thin. There's only a few pages.
Right.
But the one for the collector's edition is really thick, and it's got all the information about all the civilizations and everything. It's got a soundtrack CD. It's got loads of stuff.
It's got
basically
the artwork book as well.
Yeah,
came with a free poster.
Yeah, came with a free poster, which is up on my wall. It's very nice. It was worth the £40 or whatever I paid for
it. That's about what, $70?
Yeah, something like that. So it's quite a lot of money for a game, but I've been so looking forward to the Age of Empires series. I'd buy anything from Ensemble Studios,
yeah,
basically. I'm just sort of going to go over the points of it. Starting with, there's a campaign, obviously, as you've always got to have a campaign of some sort in a strategy, it seems. I'm not really a fan of campaigns, but I've been trying to play through the AoE 3 one just to get a feel for it. And it's actually quite impressive.
Yeah.
The cutscenes are really impressive. They use the in-game engine for the cutscenes, but the graphics are so amazing, as I will mention in a minute, that's really good. There's voice acting, which is also impressive.
Yep.
There's characters you really... There's a whole plot line. It's not just like a random campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
So, overall, the game is presented very well. I think the way... When you load up the game, you've got a picture of your city and people walking around, and you can customize that and all this sort of thing. It's really... They're just add-ons, and they're not part of the game itself, but
yeah,
it's just that sort of extra presentation makes it look good and makes it look like a good game, and you think, wow, you know, you're blasted with this huge bloom effects enough to blind a fully grown man and everything. which comes on to the graphics, which are absolutely stunning. They've broken boundaries for the strategy genre. They really have got the best, truly the best graphics you will ever see in a strategy game. There's great water effects, which games always try to get really good water effects, and the first game that I saw that had really amazing ones was Cossacks.
Right.
And it had stunning... The ships would move really slowly, and they'd cause ripples in the water, and they wouldn't move at a constant speed, and you'd have waves and everything. And the water in Age of Empires 3 is just as impressive, and it brings my computer crying to its knees as it tries... if a ship explodes, my computer goes, no, not going to do this. Sorry, you're going to have to sit here for 5 minutes. But the ships don't move very realistically.
No.
I think... They can turn on the spot, and you'd never get ships, huge ships with bombard cannons and everything, turning on the spot.
Yeah, exactly.
So Age of Empires 2 movement for ships, which kind of sucks, but they said in the making of DVD that they didn't want to make a hugely realistic game. They just wanted to make, you know, it's almost arcadey in a sense,
right,
in the similar way that Age of Empires 2 was. And then there's the sound, obviously. They've just revamped the Age of Empires 2 music. They've got really good sound effects, I would say. I watched the making of DVD, obviously. As I was installing the game, I was watching the making of DVD. They went to some battle reenactions.
Oh, right.
And actually recorded sounds from muskets firing and that sort of thing.
Oh, cool.
And half of the sounds in the game are actually for where they went to battle reenactments.
Oh, excellent.
And took the actual sounds from cannons and musket fire and all that sort of thing. So the sounds are really good. And the sounds of people dying and everything is all amazing. But the music is just revamped AoE music. So it's the same melody as the AoE music.
Yeah.
But it's revamped. It makes it sound like it's in the third age sort of thing. You know,
yeah.
The music gradually advances as you go on. So that's all good. The gameplay is they've actually added some extra stuff now to the game.
Right.
It's not anything amazing, but they've added this idea of cards, which are bonuses that you can get throughout the game. Throughout, say you're playing a game against a computer or whatever,
mm-hmm,
throughout the game you gain experience. You gain experience from killing people, building new buildings, gathering resources, exploring, and building training posts with Native Americans. You can then spend this experience on getting cards throughout the game. So, say you're at the beginning of the game and you get enough experience to get a card. You can pick from 3 or 4 cards or whatever.
Yep.
And say you might get 300 extra food or a couple of extra villagers or something like that. And they are called shipments, with quote marks, from your home city. And you can customize what cards you get. Say, once you get up enough levels, because the experience gradually accumulates for each city,
right,
for each civilization,
yeah,
you play. Say you get up to like level 10, you will get new cards available for you that you can add. And so that adds, some people say it adds a greater depth. Certainly the game developers obviously say that it adds a greater depth to the game, and you can have new strategies for that sort of thing. And I can imagine as time goes on and people figure stuff out, people are going to make some really specific, hard-hitting strategies for civilizations, especially the Ottomans,
yeah,
which are overpowered and need to be changed in the patch. Ensemble Studios, if you're listening to this, which you won't be, you really need to nerf the Ottomans in some way because they're so overpowered. The game is just going to eventually become Ottomans v. Ottomans.
Yeah.
But anyway, that aside. But yeah, other than the cards, it's basically just AoE 2 with a few extra features and enhancements. As far as how long you're going to be playing it, there's skirmishes, obviously, but I found that the AI isn't particularly hard for me. I've played AoE 2 a lot, and so for me, the only thing that provides any challenge from the AI is the extreme setting.
Yes.
None of the others are any challenge at all. Hard, I can beat easily. Moderate, I can beat easily. So that's kind of off-putting, that they haven't made some really good AI, you know, because people are just going to get lazy, and then they go online and find that they get slaughtered, and that's not good, to just play a game and get slaughtered the moment you play. But obviously there's multiplayer, which is really good. Ensemble Studios, for once, aren't leeching off Microsoft. They're not using the MSN Gaming Zone. They're actually, they've made their own system called Ensemble Studios Online, and it's got all the usual sort of chat, ladders, matchmaking, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
They've had some serious problems with the servers. It's been down. Half the time that I go and play online, it will be gone. Yeah. It won't be working. So that kind of sucks. You know, it's understandable, yeah, Ensemble Studios, you haven't done this before, but get it sorted. I don't think they anticipated that there'd be like 3,000 people on all the time playing AoE 3.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's kind of not great. There aren't many civs in AoE 3. There were more in AoE 2, and there were more in Rise of Nations and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So overall, I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really break any bounds in the genre, apart from the graphics, which are absolutely amazing. Rival FPS for graphics. But other than that, it's a pretty cool game. I will be playing it for a long time.
Probably.
Okay, that's my review over.
Yes.
We're going to have some music.
Eric, yeah, we've got. We're going to intersperse our gaming section with some music.
This is from Brother Love, and it's called Summertime. And it's a very popular song for podcasts.
Yeah, it's been a lot of other podcasts. So, if you might, you know, there's a good chance you've already heard it.
Yeah, if you listen to a lot of podcasts, you may have already heard this before, because I had a look and it's the most played song on podcasts ever.
We can tell why, though. It's a really good song.
It's a really good song. So check this out. I can guarantee you will like it. I can't think of anyone who wouldn't like this song. Go and check out his website at brotherloverocks.com, which I think is a great name for a website.
It's a good website domain name. It's awesome.
So have a listen to this and see what you think.
Hope you like it.
And in case you're wondering, it really is supposed to sound screwed up in places. It's not like the MP3 gone weird or anything. When I was young, was all we ever cared about. We
Okay, welcome back. We hope you like that.
Yep.
It was good music. I like it.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah, it's really good music. Okay, we're going to jump straight in, no messing about, into our next little gaming topic. Right, I'm going to do another review. So, Gelard's had his review, and I'm going to do mine, of Winter Assault. If you remember last episode, we did mention that Winter Assault was coming out.
We did.
And now it's out. So, I bought the game straight after the recording of the podcast.
Yeah, you did. Just as you said you would, you popped onto Play.com.
Popped onto Play.com and bought it for only £24.
Not bad.
That was with the original game
as
well.
That's the whole thing,
that was,
yeah.
That was both Dawn of War and Winter Assault, so
nice.
Good deal. Anyway, review for it. Presentation-wise, it's identical to the original Dawn of War game. Okay, it's really only expansion, so it's not going to make any major changes to the gameplay or how it looks or how it feels and everything. The only new things in it are that there's two new campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
So in the original game, you had the campaign of the Blood Ravens, where you play as the Space Marines, you go through and you kill Chaos. But there's two new campaigns: are Order and Disorder. Basically, in the Order, you play as the Imperial Guard and the Eldar, the good guys. And in the Disorder, you play as the Chaos and the Orcs.
Ooh,
the bad
Eldar
guys.
Rule.
Eldar don't rule.
Eldar rule.
No, they don't. Imperial Guard rule. Anyway, if you didn't know, both me and Jada play 140,000, so...
We do. Well, you do. I did.
You did, and you still like Eldar.
I do.
So, you can play those both campaigns, and they're the new things. They're quite fun to play. The other new thing in the game... Which is probably the biggest addition, which is probably the only reason why most people bought the game, was the fact that there was a new race in it, the Imperial Guard. The whole new army's been added. It's not just like... In the original Dawn of War, you could play as the Imperial Guard. There were the few Imperial Guard units that you could play as. In the campaign.
Oh, I see.
In the campaign, when you play the Space Marines, you have like a small detachment of Imperial Guards to help you. But they only had your units. You didn't have like vehicles or anything. And you only had some men. So they die quite easy, and
yeah.
Then you run out. But this time you're having a whole new army, so they're completely controllable without having to use Space Marines.
Cool.
And they're really nice. They're really nice to play as.
I had a quick go with them, and they are nice. I mean, it's a good... Well, the game is nice generally, so...
Yeah, I'll get on to how they play in a minute.
Yep.
But the other new thing, which is slightly interesting but not amazing, is that all the other races have got new units, one new unit each. The Space Marines have gotten a new leader unit, their Chaplain, which, you know, I think they should have been in the first game anyway, so it's a good job, good thing they put in, because the Chaplain's a great leader.
It's one of the main units in the actual tabletop.
It is, yeah. It's a proper main unit in the tabletop game, and it's more than my personal favourite in terms of the leaders.
Yeah.
I always use my Chaplain. The other ones, the Chaos get their Khorne Berserkers, which are very powerful close combats. They go into a frenzy when they're in close combat. Rubbish at range, though. They've even got basic pistols. The Orcs have got their Mega Armor Knobs. Oh, why does everyone have to laugh at that joke?
Because it's so funny. I was actually preparing myself just to laugh.
Oh, for crying out loud.
It's not really that funny,
no.
Because I know what they are. But
they're basically massive Orcs, but clad in metal armor.
Massive knobs, really clad in armor.
Really big armor. I'm not even going to dignify you with a response. And the Eldar get these really, really shitty, crappy little... weaklings who run around going,
hey, hang on, I just realised what you've been saying.
Exactly, yeah, I'm only kidding. The Eldar get the Fire Dragons,
yeah.
Which are basically close range.
That's
who
correct.
Fire awesomely powerful guns.
So fusion guns.
So their guns are really good, but they're only close range. They're not very good range. So they can take out vehicles really easily with them. So they all get some new units, which is really good. In terms of graphics, the graphics have been slightly improved.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot, but a bit.
It looked roughly the same, give or take a few parts.
You can tell that it's been changed because, I mean, on my computer, the original game ran okay, but this time it starts to struggle a few times.
Yeah, so better textures and perhaps.
Yeah, everything's been improved slightly. And the animation's still very fluid.
Yeah.
All the units, they act as if they were humans.
I found that they took a lot of time on doing the animation for units and everything because they really do move... You know, they don't just jump from one animation to another.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Really, you know, they shoot while moving and all this sort of thing. It's really...
If you look, especially during close combat, it's notable. If you've got, say, one person fighting another person, you might have a commander unit do a special animation move where you actually see him do something. He maybe stick his sword inside a unit and he'll fling him over his shoulder. It doesn't always happen. He might sometimes, you know, just get the basic animation of him chopping someone down. But sometimes they get like special animations where they'll kill someone in a special way. It's good that they kept to the detail to make it really pretty to look at while you're playing. Explosions are nice. the explosion has been improved slightly, so when you get explosions on the ground or a building blows up, you know, you can really see the dirt fly everywhere, you can see the flames
and the explosion area stays there, doesn't it, the damage effect.
Yes, that's another thing. Very high decal rate.
Yeah.
So everything that's happened generally stays there, if you've got it set, of course. Body, if you kill someone, the body will stay there for a very long time, if not all the time. Explosion, like craters, will stay there.
Yeah.
Vehicles don't stay there. Vehicles will disappear quite soon after, simply because if they did stay there, they'd cause hassle in terms of...
Yeah, especially if you're in a, like a huge army and they get in the way.
Exactly, they get in the way and you can't have that. The sound is identical. Nothing's been changed. I think there's a couple maybe new scores, a few new music tracks, but other than that, there's nothing amazing to it. Unfortunately, they didn't fix the sound quality. In my opinion, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but in my opinion, the sound quality in both the games are really, really rubbish because... It's very tinny. Everything's really tinny. It's when you listen to the music, it feels like it's just been made out of a MIDI file or something. You know, and it really doesn't sound good at all. It sounds awful. The only really good thing about sound of the game is the voice acting.
Yeah,
all the races have voice acting for all the different units. So all the different units say something different. Really fun to listen to them bark orders at each other and shout at the fact that they're scared and stuff. It's very, very funny.
Very well done.
It is. It's really good. I'm glad this is another one, like the fluid animation, that they've kept to detail, and it makes it really fun. In terms of gameplay, it's still a solid game. It's identical to the way Dawn of War plays, because it's just an expansion pack.
Yeah.
The Imperial Guard is slightly overpowered, in my opinion. If you know how to use Imperial Guard well, you can beat anybody, simply because they're just really powerful. They can just overpower anybody with numbers and firepower. And that's about it, really, in terms
of the
gameplay. What
about multiplayer?
The multiplayer version of it, you can play online, and you can join with people's games. You don't have to use the in-game thing. You can use, like, join to IP.
GameSpy and that sort of thing.
Or you can use things like Xfire as well.
Yeah.
And it's not great, because a lot of people have problems with the connections and stuff, because it's quite a high-demanding game. But I don't generally play online, because I just like playing against the computer.
Yeah.
That's part of the last ability as well. It's a game will last just like AoE 3, like you said about AoE 3.
Yeah, skirmishes.
You've got skirmishes, you've got the campaign modes, and you've been playing it for quite a while. And as long as you're a fan of the tabletop game, the original tabletop game, you're always going to be a fan of these games.
Yeah.
Simply because it's taken the concept of the tabletop game, stripped it down to its basics, shoved it in a computer game so you can play it with fun without having to worry about the rules and stuff.
And making it real time, of course. Cause
of real time, yes.
Tabletop is turn-based.
Out of 10, I'd give it a 7 or 8, simply because it's only an expansion pack, so there's nothing really new.
Yeah.
New race and everything. And the bad thing, of course, is they didn't fix the sound.
Do you think they'll do another expansion?
Probably.
Yeah.
Because people are going to want them to add new races like the Tau, the Tyranids, the Necrons.
I'd be interested to see the Tau and the Tyranids.
Yeah, I'd like to see the Tyranids. I'd like to see the Tyranids added to the game.
They could do really good stuff with Tyranid models, couldn't they? And the animation for Tyranids.
Yeah, they could, exactly.
Huge alien monster things.
Imagine you've got like Hive Tyrants running around.
Exactly.
Like their psychic powers and their massive guns and flailing about and killing people. It's really good. It'd be really good to see.
So THQ, if you're listening, do that.
Yeah, they probably already got the pipeline.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway.
Last bit of gaming. Is it the last bit of gaming?
Yes, last bit of gaming.
Yeah, last bit of gaming that we've got. We've both been playing Freelancer again.
Yeah.
It's an old game now.
It's a very old game. It's about 3 years old, at least.
It's been around for a while. It's a space action game, bit trying to be like Elite and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's very arcadey in the way
it is very arcadey.
But we pulled it out. Just to play it again, because I've been playing it again myself, because I got bored, so I was playing that, and then I persuaded Gelada to play it.
Yeah, and
now we're in the multiplayer.
Yeah, we tried the multiplayer out. I gave it a quick try when I first got it and thought, this sucks, because you take ages, you know, nothing transfers over from all your hard-earned hours in the story.
Yeah.
And so it's just the story without the story, essentially. But there's some mods now.
There's got a mod that you can download. The best one, in our opinion, is one called TNG, The Next Generation of Freelancer. Yeah.
And it's a really big mod, because
it's a massive mod.
You know, there's completely different sections for it on cheat sites and that sort of thing.
Exactly. I mean, there's new areas, there's new ships, there's new equipment, there's new everything.
They've completely changed the economy as well, because all the prices are up.
Yes, they are. So basically, all the ships cost like millions now instead of only 100,000.
Yeah.
So.
and we've been playing that online.
Yeah, it's a really fun game to play together.
It's a fun game to play. It's interesting looking at these going past, and there's like this huge collection of battleships, and it's
yeah,
just
like we first logged on, we saw this this clan called Skynet, and they were all like having these massive battleships, obviously going off to fight another clan or something.
Yeah, it's cool. I can imagine
watch.
It would be boring on your own, but if you've got another person there, and we were on Ventrilo chat,
yeah, we were chatting
headsets.
To each other, which is really cool, then, because it makes you really feel like you're in a spacey environment.
Yeah, it's really good, sort of going around and you're on trade lanes together and stuff. It's really good. So if anyone hasn't bought that, I think it's actually on the sort of white label cheap stuff now.
Probably.
If you actually go and buy it, so it's probably like a tenner
you
if you want to go and buy it.
Really, really, really cheap.
So if you ever played Elite and you like Elite, then give it a try.
Check us out, email us, and we'll get together and
we'll
play
together.
Yeah,
we'll go on online.
Maybe we can make a Life in Hex clan.
Yeah, maybe. That would be interesting. L-I-H is the tag.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. So, yeah, if you've got Freelancer and you play, or you want to play, tell us and we'll start playing with you.
Yeah, it'd be good. Okay, moving on to sort of, this is kind of tech gaming.
Half tech, half gaming.
Do you want to do this?
Yeah, I'll do this if you want. EA have just been made a program, or they're going to make it.
They've made it.
They've
you
made
can
it.
Download it.
They yep. can download it now. And basically, it's a total copy of Steam.
Yeah, you can do the old preloading games and patches and everything like that. So
it's a good idea for them to do it, but again, it's a copy of Steam.
Yeah, but and you can't really blame them for doing it because of the huge amount of game base they've got for all their games that they've done, Battlefield 2 and that
yeah,
sort of
I
thing.
Yeah, I agree.
In fact, the first game that you're going to be able to preload is these. The expansion to Battlefield 2, Battlefield 2 Special Forces.
Oh, right, okay.
You're going to be able to preload that. It's not going to be cheaper than if you buy it in the shop.
Yeah.
So what I want to know is, where's the attraction?
There isn't,
you know,
really.
Valve, they charge less if you buy them off Steam, but EA are charging the same.
Yeah, silly.
I couldn't quite see that. But anyway, it's apparently really small. I haven't tried it out. I'm going to try it out, and I'll maybe mention it in the next podcast. But it's a really small program. What's the next step? Are all gaming companies going to be making their own little downloader program?
Yeah.
Are you going to end up running 20 different downloading game programs? You know, one for Midway, THQ, all these different people, Microsoft,
EA.
You're just going to end up with a huge amount of downloading, updating programs. So
maybe you know, someone will make a mod where you can put them all together in one go and stuff. So that'd be good.
But their slogan is no traffic, no postage, no kidding. It's
nice.
Kind of weird.
Yes, that's really going to get me to buy their games.
Maybe what they'll do next. Maybe
oh,
buy
yeah.
Valve.
Yeah, we were joking about this. We don't want it to happen at all. But
definitely
we were talking
not.
About we were talking about maybe EA buying Valve, which would be absolutely disgusting if they did, because EA buy everybody.
Yeah, but that would be interesting to say the least. Imagine loading up Half-Life 2 and seeing EA Games Challenge.
Oh god, that'd be horrible.
Oh dear.
You
right.
can check out that at. Downloader.ea.com.
Yep, and you can actually download it.
Yep, you can try it out now.
It's quite a nice website, also copying Valve. Never mind.
Never mind that.
Another little tech thing that. Now, this really interests me because, as you may have noticed from the last episode, I'm a real Wi-Fi security fanatic and talking about war driving and all this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And in New York, in the New York County, they are trying to pass a legislation to ban. Insecure Wi-Fi. Now, I thought that sounded quite strange. How can you ban something that you can't really control? But I read up on it, and if you want to have a look for yourself, you can go on tinyurl.com/8ZFP7. And basically, they're not outlawing unsecure Wi-Fi completely, because that's impossible. Home users, you're not going to be able to control everyone.
Yeah, of course.
But commercial businesses are not going to be allowed to have insecure Wi-Fi. They are going to have to either use Wi-Fi encryption, or they're going to have to put a firewall in between their Wi-Fi network and their main network.
Yeah.
So that anyone who walks down the street and connects to their Wi-Fi can't get on the rest of their network.
That would be stupid.
It's good that people are beginning to see that there is a real risk. As I've always said, and lots of people, other people have always said, there is a huge risk with insecure Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it is.
And if you would you trust a business that has an insecure Wi-Fi network, and would you trust them with your data?
No, I wouldn't.
Knowing that someone can walk down the street and pick up your data.
Just hop on the laptop, grab the data, go.
It's
you're done.
Bad.
Yes, it's good that they've done this. It's good that they've made it harder for people to be ignorant about it.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing that will be quite interesting is that this includes internet cafes. So God knows how Starbucks are going to cope with changing their entire, all their Starbucks and change them so that this is okay for New York.
God knows, because I bet God knows how many Starbucks coffee houses there are in New York.
Exactly. You can be fined up to $500.
Really?
Which is not a lot for a business. But
no, for a business it's not, but...
But you can be, yeah. And just to prove that war driving isn't illegal, certainly in America anyway, they actually went for a drive with some representatives from whatever, whoever were passing this law, and found 248 open wireless connections.
Jeez.
When they just drove for half an hour, and over 100 of them lacked any security at all.
Wow. It's bad.
Yep.
We're not going to stick on that, because every show we rant about wireless networks.
Yep.
So we're going to move straight on. Microsoft, this is another techie thing. Microsoft have been told, well, they've told us rather, that they're going to push Microsoft Vista Beta 2 back. You can check this out, you know, while we're talking about it, tinyurl.com/CED5T.
Yeah.
But basically what it is that Microsoft Vista, the new OS, if no one knows about it.
Yeah, which was called Longhorn.
Which was called Longhorn.
Vista is the final name.
It's been delayed to early 2006 because they've been having problems meeting their deadlines and criteria. So they've had to push it back further to make sure they get it out in time.
Yeah, or make sure that they fix the bugs.
Yes, because if you don't want Microsoft, well, they do that anyway. They'll release it with bugs.
Yeah, that's beside the point.
But if this is just if they're pushing this beta back so far, imagine how it's going to take to get the real version out.
Exactly,
the full versions.
They say the second half of 2006, so I reckon about mid 2007.
Maybe, yeah,
something like that.
Even if later, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it was later than that. So it's still a long way off.
People with XP, you've still got a lot of time before you can get Windows Vista on it.
Yeah, but then again, it's in our opinion that Vista's going to suck.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be any good. We've mentioned this before.
Yeah, we have.
About needing a graphics card to run it.
Exactly.
Needing high spec PC, 2 gigs of space, and everything.
It is silly. Anyway. But that's something interesting. Microsoft
we'll
not see when
it
deadlines.
We'll see when it comes out.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that pretty much wraps up
it
our
does.
Show.
We're going to do some shouts and some plugs.
Yes, we are.
I'm going to do a shout to a friend of mine from school called Gareth. And thanks for being a happy little noob and being owned on AOE3 by me. I think I owned him about 10 minutes or something like that.
What civ did he use?
He played the Spanish.
Spanish.
It's not a surprise that I rushed him with the Russians and completely caned him.
A Spanish quite like long.
Spanish is slow. They're good economy, good for turtling, but not good for much else.
Right.
And also some shouts to all the people at the pantomime that I'm doing that I previously mentioned.
Yeah.
And so
hopefully. Hello to them.
Hello to them. You've got some.
I haven't got any shouts this week. I've been quite boring, really.
Okay, I'll do my quick plug as well then. I want to plug to a friend of mine called Michael Whalen, who lives in California, I believe, and his website is whalesalad.com, which is a play on his name, and I think it's quite funny.
Interesting name.
Obviously, no one else thinks it's funny. He had a very interesting story about there's some script kiddies in his school who are pretending that they can hack and stuff and doing all this cool stuff. Well, not cool stuff, but... And I argued that I want some noobs at our school, because we don't have any. They're all... No one wants to be a hacker, and it's... Oh, well... Your plug?
Yeah, my plug. This website's been around for quite a while now, and Pac-Map introduced me a little while ago.
We've got to have him on the show.
We've got to get Pac-Map on the show.
I spoke to him, actually, and he said, no, I can't come on the show, I swear too much. I was like, doesn't matter, we're just getting explicit tag for the episode.
Bleep it out if we need to, at least, anyway. But anyway, he told me about this website called Outpost 9.
Mm-hmm.
Just check it out. It's at tinyurl.com/7ZNE2.
That one in the middle is N for Norma.
Yes, N for Norma, not M.
For Mother.
Yes. Again, it'll be on our website.
Of course,
check it out. The site's about a Japanese school teacher who teaches English in Japan, but he's an American dude, a big black American dude, who's totally out of place in Japan because, like, in Japan you don't see any other races apart from Japanese people.
Yeah.
So he's like... But he just writes these editorials and blogs, and they're absolutely hilarious. I was reading one during class at college.
I'm gonna have a read of these, because
you should do.
I think it would just be worth a laugh.
I was having to bite my ID tag to stop myself from laughing because it was so funny. But anyway, awesome. Yeah, check that out. It's very funny.
Yep. Okay, I think that just about wraps up the show.
That's our show for today. I'm Zephron,
and I'm Gelada,
and we hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and see you in 2 weeks' time. Hopefully, with episode 4. Bye bye.
This has got to go in the outtakes.
Yeah. As if we ever mess about.
Oh, we always mess about, don't we? They love us for it.
Yeah. You see, we're doing it now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I just said we're going to jump straight in, and now we're already having a banter about...
Why does that happen? About us messing about and not jumping straight in. It's just a point.
Okay, anyway, sorry about that. We're going to jump straight in. We're going to cut this, and this is going to be in the outtakes.
No, it's going to be an awesome part of the show.
No, it's not going to be an awesome part of the show.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Get on with it.
I'm going to, if you shut the hell up.
Yeah, I remember buying it, actually. It was when Desarta came down one.
Yeah.